In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Traditionally, on the fourth Sunday in Advent, we are invited to think about the Blessed Virgin Mary. We light the candle on our Advent wreath and give thanks for her obedience. A curious word, the origin of which lies in the Latin obedir, meaning nothing more than a willingness to listen. Today, as our Gospel reading, we are taken almost too early into the events of the Nativity in Matthew. It is as if we are being invited to begin to understand the story by joining it halfway through. But if we are to understand Mary's place, her role in God's plan to save the world, we have to go back to the Annunciation, the moment when God sent the Archangel Gabriel to Mary. We don't know where Mary's encounter with the Angel Gabriel took place, though the artists have worked hard to fill in the blanks with everything from bathtubs to fields of lilies. But we do know the first words that Gabriel spoke to her. In fact, he said two things, greeting her by announcing that she had found favour with the Lord, and then, when he saw her reaction, he said, "Do not be afraid." We've come to understand the possibility of an angelic encounter as a moment of deep peace and comfort, but that is not the witness of the Scriptures. From Joshua to Mary, a one-to-one moment with an angel is a life-disturbing, not to say life-changing, moment. We only say, "Do not be afraid," in two circumstances: when there is something to be afraid of, or when there definitely is not. Mary, we understand, was gunaiki, variously translated as young woman or virgin. If she had been able to foresee all that would be required of her, the extramarital pregnancy, the circumstances of her delivery, the flight into Egypt and the cross, she could perhaps be forgiven her fear. In this case, the momentous event about to occur would make most people hesitate, and yet we come to sing of her child, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." "Do not be afraid" is a legitimate word of comfort, only if you can see the whole picture. It is, more than anything, an invitation to trust. Trust that despite everything that you are being invited to undertake, all will ultimately be well. If God could have found other ways to make himself known, present himself afresh in the world, it is all the more extraordinary that the way he chose depended upon a young woman, a mere girl perhaps, and her willingness to listen and respond with absolute trust. The Blessed Virgin Mary is rightly honoured for this, because the world and its history turns upon her words, "Let it be unto me according to your word." From this distance, we have lost something of the sense being expressed by those who first tried to interpret these events in the Gospels. John, who saw that God, who had seemed far off, became almost unbearably close in the child in Mary's womb. And Matthew and Luke, who add that a birth so distinctive could only be expressed in terms of a virginal conception. In other words, an event of an utterly different order to anything we normally understand. But if the distance is one challenge, then the cast of characters is another. We don't make nearly enough of the people who find themselves caught up in these events. Not just Mary, but Joseph, the shepherds, and the whole nativity scene are so familiar to us that in looking at a picture posted online of what is termed a Bauhaus nativity set, merely an assembly of various sized blocks of wood, we are still able to identify which wooden block represents which character. Mostly poor, marginal, insignificant individuals, like so many of those caught up in events in the Middle East today. Here we remind ourselves that Quirinius was governor of Syria when the census was taken. As sad today as it ever was, it is those without power who were called upon to help shape world-changing events. As with his mother, the very poverty of his entrance into the world speaks volumes of the message he came to embody, and those who are God's priority. Emmanuel, God with us, is not so much God Almighty as God self-emptied, weak, helpless, and dependent among those who are weak, helpless, and dependent. The muck and mire of the stable, a microcosm of the mess of the world, and tragically much easier to grasp with so many media images fresh to our minds. From what I observe, it isn't much easier to be a poor young pregnant woman today than it was in first century Palestine. But whenever I think of her, I remember something written by Clive James, the Australian writer, about Christmas. His granddaughter was coming to stay for the festivities, and though she was still young, he was reflecting on the significance of Jesus. James, an old man in reflective mode, moves from recalling his Bible classes as a boy to surveying the journey of faith and loss his intellect had taken him on since. He observes that the day will come when his granddaughter will want to know more about just whose birthday Christmas is. But there is one important thing, he says, that even I will be able to tell her, which is that Jesus, the first great man to be a champion of women, believes in her. And that alone would be sufficient cause to bless every night and day of the season wherein his birth is celebrated. God with us, born by Mary's flesh beyond all convention, give us faith to see the Spirit's work where the world sees only shame, to listen to the promise and waken to the cry of life renewed and love reborn. Through Jesus Christ, the one who is to come. Amen.